entire frontline breaking news on the most critical threats we collectively face.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna solar-topia.
Starting to burn too many things we found. That's the beautiful Dar Williams singing with Pete Seeger and David Burns, the Solartopia song. We got a really big time show for you today, talking again about Puerto Rico. There's so many developments, so much important stuff going on there, that while the Trump catastrophe continues, we have really, really good people working to make something happen worthwhile and worth keeping in Puerto Rico. We're joined again this week by Yesenia. Yesenia was with us last week. Yesenia Perez on and talked to us for the full hour about Solartopia, about Puerto Rico, what's going on down there and all that. Terrible, terrible problems that have been brought on by the Trump lack of administration. And we are also joined today by Joel Siegel, who's been with us before. He's going to tell us really about some amazing new developments. And Guillermo, who's with him. Let's start with you, Joel. Just jump right in. Tell us what's going on. Thank you, Yesenia, for joining us again. We appreciate it. And Guillermo. But Joel, let's start with you. What's the latest in this catastrophe and your attempts, your group's attempts to deal with it?
Brother Harvey, it's great to be with you. I wish cloning was, you know, we could clone you and have you have several radio shows that make life easier for progressives. But I'm sure that, that Pruitt probably outlawed that as EPA, former EPA director. Well, after 9 to 10 months of really organizing both in Puerto Rico and outside Puerto Rico to do two things. One, solarize Puerto Rico and get clean energy there, but two, to redevelop and reconstruct the island based on what the Puerto Ricans want. We have finally found the right pieces, you know, of the chessboard to actually make this happen, and I'll tell you who those pieces are. Representative Ted Lieu will be introducing an historical landmark bill, which would basically be a Marshall Plan type model. Those of you who don't know what the Marshall Plan is, that was the plan where we literally gave, it would be the equivalent of about $30 to $40 billion today, to rebuild Germany and Japan after World War II so they would not become fascist again because they didn't want to see a depression there again, which is usually that's what creates fascism. Similarly, what we want to do is provide infrastructure and let the Puerto Rican regions, towns, and cities develop their own plans. The Department of Energy would then fund that plan, but there would be a civil society board to make sure that the elected officials are working with grassroots community leaders, you know, neighborhood leaders. So it's not a top-down bill. I've never—that's what John Connors taught me, is how to write a bill. To make sure it was, you know, participatory. And then secondly, there's another bill. We don't know who's going to introduce this, but it would be about a $100 billion infusion of direct federal funding that would go right into Puerto Rico to reconstruct the island that President Trump, President Frankenstein is my nickname for him, the great redhead from New York, who completely neglected the island, really with the, you know, consent and complicity of our Republican, you know, Congress. And he called for about $95 billion, and I you know, did the research and found out that the Jones Act, which is a colonial act that the United States made after the Spanish-American Civil War, we get rid of the Jones Act. The Jones Act is no more Jones Act, where Puerto Rico can only buy from America. That has strangled their economy. They lost right around $16, $17 billion from that, so that's kind of a restitution payment. And then the normal bankruptcy laws that apply to America would then be applied to Puerto Rico, but it would be a complete rebuilding of the island based on what the Puerto Ricans want. Brings back FEMA and the Army Corps of Engineers, and then Guillermo will tell you about the national campaign in Puerto Rico to actually get these bills passed, and this includes celebrities, dignitaries, press conferences, Puerto Rican groups, Hispanic groups, American groups. We have a movement that is going to win, and then Yesenia is directing anything dealing with Puerto Ricans here in America or in Puerto Rico or the Hispanics. We should be directing that. Guillermo is directing the whole campaign, and we do need money. We've already raised some, but if we're going to save the island, we got to do it now because their school kids, and thank you, Harvey, for sending me the article, and I sent it out across the nation. Their school kids starting school with no food, with unsafe drinking water, and no electricity in the richest country in the world, and they are American citizens, but I'm optimistic because the people united can never be defeated. We're finally fighting back. Thank you.
Fantastic, Joel. We're going to go into more detail on the nature of the legislation and the nature of the movements that you're pushing. Guillermo, you want to jump in now and fill us in? Tell us, give us a bit of information about yourself, Guillermo. This is your first time on my show.
Yes, hi, Harvey. Thank you so much for inviting me. My name is Guillermo Nicasio, and I'm the National Campaign Coordinator for Don't Forget Puerto Rico or the Virgin Islands. I've worked for over 20 years in Washington, D.C., on national issue campaigns for progressive organizations like Public Citizen and People for the American Way. The issue campaigns that I've worked on have been comprehensive immigration reform, campaign finance reform, affordable prescription drugs, and Supreme and federal court nominations. And now I'm lucky to be working on this very important and needed humanitarian, to handle the humanitarian crisis that's happening in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. And now we're seeing our campaign just take off and really take flight. We have four pillars to our campaign, and they include our congressional campaign, our state campaign, and Inside the Beltway campaign, and our national grasstop campaign, which is all included in what we're doing. But again, I just want to talk to people and let them know just how important this campaign is. And the emergency and the crisis, that the humanitarian crisis that is happening in Puerto Rico and in the Virgin Islands. If you can just think, if this had happened in Texas and it took 365 days to bring back the lights, what do you think people in Texas would be doing? There'd be riots out there. There would be people looting. They were, trying to survive. And that's exactly what we have in Puerto Rico. And the Trump administration really doesn't care about us. They really don't care about the Puerto Rican community because they see us as second-class citizens. And, again, we see this in some of the stuff that's being put out there by Omarosa, where the General Kelly came out and called our community fixed and said, we don't care about them. We don't have to care about them. They don't vote for us. So that just brings back to show the racism that is within the Trump administration and why we need the progressive community and all people with a heart to join our campaign and help us to help the Puerto Rican community rebuild their island so it can withstand these hurricanes, because it makes no sense that we continue to build a power grid that every time we get a hurricane, it goes down. And I go, that's why we're looking toward solar. And that's why, again, I just want to reemphasize, that we need the help of the progressive community and the people with a heart to make this campaign and to pass this legislation.
Pretty amazing. It's really amazing what you're doing, all you guys. Yesenia Perez, you were with us last week. There have been some developments over the week. You want to add anything to what you said last week about the situation in Puerto Rico and how people are struggling to get their houses and their food and their water?
Thank you, Harvey, for having me back this week. I think that every day that passes is a day that we lose in regards to helping our people in Puerto Rico. We need to make sure that we address this as an urgent matter and that we move fairly quickly in order to minimize any more damages in the island. We have people not getting the care that they need. We have businesses that are suffering right now. And now we're confronted with the fact that the children have started school and they don't have the proper basic need, which is electrical and water, to function properly throughout the day. So this is a very urgent matter, and that's why we're urging everybody to make sure that they come on board and support us.
What is the situation with the schools? I've read a couple articles. I forwarded one to Joel. Can you describe the state of the school system in Puerto Rico right now?
I can tell you that the schools are suffering. From what I've heard from friends and family in Puerto Rico is that some of the schools have had to close because they don't have the full capacity and facilities right now to attend to all the children. And so they're closing out schools, which means teachers are being left without a job, but then they're extending the usage of the schools that are still open. And these schools that are open that are not used to having the capacity that they are having currently. So my question is, are they getting, you know, the food that they need to get? Are they getting the proper clean water that these children need to get during the day to satisfy their thirst to go to the bathroom? Are they getting enough energy running through in order to have power throughout the day and have good meals prepared for them? So there's a lot of factors going on into this. Not only, you know, it's the job factor, it's the safety factor, it's the environmental factor, and it's our children. So we've got to make sure that we address it very quickly.
That's amazing. It's amazing. How many schools are there in Puerto Rico, and public schools, and how many students, you know?
I know that there are over 1,000 schools in Puerto Rico. Last I heard, they had closed down about 130-something schools. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to look into the details for that.
And do we know the state of the schools physically in terms of recovering from the hurricane?
No, and this is a factor that we want to address visually. We are putting together a group to go down there to Puerto Rico and run a documentary of the state of Puerto Rico year after Hurricane Maria. And so one of the pieces of this documentary will be visiting the schools that are functioning right now to see how they're functioning, and also visiting the schools that have closed down to understand why they were closed down.
Harvey, well, is there money to pay teachers now in Puerto Rico?
Excuse me?
Is there money to pay teachers in Puerto Rico now? Where is the money coming from to pay teachers?
I am not quite sure, but I believe that they're working with whatever budget they were addressed or given at the beginning of the year.
Wow.
I don't think that has changed.
Mind-boggling.
So they have to include not only paying the teachers, but just remodeling and fixing the infrastructures of the school without any change to the budget.
Well, my understanding, and Joel or Guillermo, you can correct me on this, or Yesenia, is that in the wake of the hurricane, our predatory Secretary of Energy, Betsy DeVos, started trying to push charter schools into Puerto Rico, which is what happened after Katrina in New Orleans. Have we been seeing that, Joel, in Puerto Rico?
I don't know too much about that. I do know Omarosa because I'm on a board of directors with her. So we are colleagues and we are friends. And there might be a lot of listeners out there that don't like her because she worked with Trump. But in her book, she made it very clear that when Camon Cruz, the mayor of San Juan, said that there was basically genocide going on in Puerto Rico, she thinks that Trump, in order to punish a woman of color, decided not to give any Puerto Rico any aid whatsoever, and that she tried very hard with another senior staffer to get aid to Puerto Rico, and Flynn, the general, said no, they were using the hurricane as an excuse to rebuild their grid and their nation. And apparently, and I believe Omarosa on this because I know her. I'm not saying that she's my best friend, but I'm saying I know her well enough because I serve on a board with her, is I believe her. She said that there were many derogatory things said by Flynn and Trump about Puerto Rico, and I don't think you have to – this is not a – you don't have to be Einstein or you know, Paul McCartney with good ears to listen to this. Don't you remember when Trump complained about the immigrants from shithole countries? Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So it's very consistent, yep. Right? Okay, it's not like, you know, I'm making this up here. I don't want to call him a racist, and I don't like doing that, man.
Oh, you can call him a racist. Very clearly a racist.
Again,
so, is there a way, can you get on a better phone? Do you have a better connection? You're a little weak.
He takes people of color, and he screws them, and over 4,000 people have died. And the Trump administration is guilty of ethnic cleansing, and we, the people, we need help. We need financial help. Between Guillermo and myself and Yesenia, we've all run national campaigns. I've passed bills in Congress. We've got about 40 of the best people in the nation running this campaign. We just need funding to really make it happen.
Okay, Joel, if you can, see if you can seek out a better phone. Your signal's coming in a little weak.
Oh, I'm
unlike,
sorry.
Guillermo,
I'm sorry. I will call back on
where,
the line.
Guillermo,
sorry.
Can you tell us where people can contact you and what your website is to see the detail of what you're doing now?
Yes, they can contact me at 202-630-8411. And our website is www.don'tforgetpuertorico.org.
That's
Harvey, the other thing I wanted to tell you is we need to also remember all of these displaced Puerto Ricans who are on the mainland now. A lot of them are in Central Florida, North Carolina, Chicago, and in New York. And they, too, are suffering quite a bit. Like I said, they're on a they're still in temporary housing. Every 2 months, they have to fight with FEMA to try to extend, being able to live in a hotel. A lot of these people don't have contacts within the community, so they're having a hard time assimilating in the areas that they are. Some people want to stay where they are. Some of them want to return to Puerto Rico. But because, you know, hurricane season is back upon us, they're afraid to go back. So these folks are having a heck of a time in the communities where they're at, and we need to remember that, and we need to give those services that are there. There's an organization in Central Florida called Latino Leadership, and they have given services to about 20,000 people, only 20,000 people. Like I said, there's an estimation that over 400,000 displaced Puerto Ricans have left Puerto Rico because of this humanitarian crisis. So we need to always continue to think about them and try to figure out how we can help them get over this terrible ordeal that they're going through.
You say 400,000 people have left Puerto Rico?
Have left Puerto Rico, yes. And it's anywhere from 400,000 to 600,000 folks that have left the island.
And that's the population.
And most
of
them have gone to Florida, North Carolina, and New York. So where Yesenia lives and where I live in North Carolina, there's been, and I love it because I like Puerto Rican people, but I have never seen this many Hispanics in my life in Charlotte, North Carolina. And when I ask them where they're from Puerto Rico. And I said, what brought you here? They left. They left because of the storm. And I said, well, do you want to go back? A lot of them do want to go back, but they're afraid that there might be another hurricane. They're afraid their electricity might come off, might go off. That's why if we build a microgrid, a solar microgrid, that means the electricity will stay on and the businesses can continue to operate. But if we don't right now pass a bill in Congress and rebuild their energy infrastructure so that it is clean energy, wind and sun, there could be a Category 6 hurricane, which many scientists are predicting, or Category 5. And what they're about to rebuild will get blown away again. And the big fight in Puerto Rico, Harvey, is between the Sierra Club and all the clean energy advocates and PREPA, which is the now privatized energy utility like where I live in Duke Power. They want to go right back to use frack gas, which will, of course, destroy the planet because of climate change. So Puerto Rico this just doesn't concern Puerto Ricans. This is about climate change, right? It's about American citizens. My mother had major surgery in Florida. I think I told you on this show, this is very important. She was in horrible pain. They did not have Dilaudid, and they had no morphine because it's made and manufactured in Puerto Rico. So for several months, American hospitals did not have access to those medicines. So this also impacts us. What happens in Puerto Rico impacts the quality of life here in our own nation. So people can't say, oh, it doesn't matter, Puerto Rico, what does it have to do with us? It has everything to do with us because they're American citizens. I don't know why we're forgetting this. Just because people in Puerto Rico speak English and Spanish, that doesn't matter. They're American citizens. This should also be an international and a United Nations intervention. Mm-hmm. If the Congress isn't going to do it, right? If our president isn't going to do it, then we the people got to do it. But so should the international community, because we're all interconnected and we're all part of the human family. And Puerto Rico, the deaths, by the way, according to a Harvard study, is over 4,000 people. It's not one study said 1,000. I think 430. It's over 4,000 people. But a large percentage of the people who died was because they didn't have electricity, right? Because in the hospitals that were run by diesel or gas, they ran out of electricity, and people who were on dialysis machines died. People who needed, like what I'm on, CPAP, they died. People on oxygen, they died. And you seen them? Am I not correct that this is still the case, that there's still thousands without electricity?
Yes, it is correct. And, yes, it is very true what you're saying. A lot of people probably did not die when the hurricane happened, but they have died because of the after effects of the hurricane. Them not getting the food that they needed, they don't have the power that they need. Furthermore, they didn't get the care that they needed. I know of three cancer patients that died a month or two after the hurricane passed because they did not get the treatment that they were supposed to be receiving. Mm-hmm. I personally got involved with two organizations.
After a year of this, first of all, where are all the progressive organizations who say that they're for, you know, helping poor people, and why haven't they come together on Puerto Rico? We're the governors. We're the mayors. I mean, where's the Democratic Party? I love Nancy Pelosi. I worked for her. I worked in Congress 13 years. I led single payer, the Affordable Care Act, global AIDS. Where in the hell is the Democratic Party right now? We know that the Republicans don't give a damn. But it's kind of hard for me not to feel righteous indignation, especially as a Jewish person who lost half of my family in the Holocaust. But this is ethnic cleansing. But I'd like to ask you, as a journalist, why hasn't this gotten more attention in the national media? And where in the hell where are the progressives and where's Congress? How'd they disappear on this, man?
It's amazing, absolutely amazing, that this is still going on. I mean, I'm close
goddamn
to speechless,
angry, and
this,
everyone should be angry.
Since this is a radio
show, but
I can't
enough
be
is enough, man. This is racism flat out, okay? And apathy, and people writing foundation grants, and the caring about their foundations. What happened to caring about each other? Have we lost that? has our culture, are we becoming a failed culture? We don't care about homeless children. We don't care about people who are working. It's almost as if the new normal is to let people die. When I worked on Katrina, I wrote the Katrina Relief Act. I couldn't find people in Congress to even work on that bill. Then the houses were destroyed. People were dying there. And I finally went ahead secretly. I wrote the bill myself. Conyers supported me when he found out later. Called all the activists down there. And this isn't about Joel Siegel. This is about something that's very wrong with our where are our souls and our morality. I wish we had your generation. You know, you're the one that started the No Nukes movement and brought in all the artists. We need, if there are musicians listening to us right now, artists, movie makers, poets, we need you, and we need you now. Thanks. Thank you, Harvey. This is the first time I've ever done that on a radio show in my life.
Well, I didn't actually start the No Nukes movement. I was lucky to be a part of it. It was a very, very gratifying, and we're still fighting that battle, too. You have to wonder about our species. If we're, you know, I'm starting to think that if there's an alien police force that goes around the universe getting rid of species that don't deserve to survive. I mean, if they came to the Earth and saw what we've done to this planet and what we're doing to places like Puerto Rico and each other, and they got a whiff of Donald Trump, I think they'd probably just wipe us, just blot us out, you know. But Puerto Rico, I know one of the things that's going on there, and we've talked about this, Joel, is the question of how energy is going to be restored to Puerto Rico. Are they going to rebuild this ridiculous grid and fire up the coal and gas burners again, or are we going to go solar? Guillermo, Yesenia, are you following that conflict at all?
I can tell you, Harvey, that there's a lot of people, a lot of investors actually also, that are fighting to get solar energy into the island, and they have been turned away by PREPA. I found out last night by a source in Puerto Rico that has a manufacturing facility of solar panels that he has personally submitted requests to work with PREPA to start solar farms, and PREPA has just plain out turned them away.
Well, we
so
need
that is the main reason why I support this bill and making sure that we take the power away from the people that are stalling actions to be taken. So we have to take that power away. We got to make sure that we place the right people in the right places so they start making the right decisions and we start moving the island of Puerto Rico forward.
Well, let me ask you real quick now, in the wake of the hurricane very soon afterwards, Elon Musk went in and solarized the children's hospital in San Juan. Now, is that still functioning? Is that still an operational facility? And how well have the solar panels done?
Let me, if Yesenia and Guillermo, if I can answer that question. They built it, the grid, in 13 days. That's how long it took, 13 days. And it's still operational. And they did a study, Harvey, and they showed that the only grid that survived the hurricane were rooftop solar panels. And you know, we are trying to get in touch with Elon Musk right now to get him to build. What we need is the money to build it's not just the money. That's what the bill's for. We need the technical expertise of Tesla and Musk. We need to build a very large battery, a storage battery. So if they do offshore wind or onshore wind, you could actually use offshore wind. They have blades now that fold in during a hurricane, and even onshore wind, but it's probably going to be more solar. But what they are doing now will depend on our legislation. So once Ted Lieu, thank God for Ted Lieu and thank God for California, right? This guy is such a gift, and his staff are wonderful to work with, by the way. You know, a lot of times you have to call staff over and over again and email them. They call you right back or they call you. That's how, once a member of Congress comes in with major legislation and then you bring in the Democratic leadership, maybe some Republicans, that's when the celebrities come in and the dignitaries, because celebrities love members of Congress, and I think that they have the kind of power to call, a Musk or whatever, and say, hey, can you help us here, and put Kamala Cruz on the phone with her, and get Tesla back in. My understanding is that Tesla has been building actually several sites, microgrids. All a microgrid is, you put solar panels either on a building or on a parking lot, and you put a series of batteries for storage, right? So let's say in Viacus, if the power goes out because of a storm, that's okay. They can get the power that's stored, let's say, in batteries that are in San Juan, you know, or Cadaqués. And that is, you know, why I'm going down with LULAC. The president of LULAC has been fantastic. Guillermo came in to this movement and within 48 hours had organized literally most of the Hispanic community. And then Yesenia came in, and within 3 days she'd organized almost, you know, every major mayor in Puerto Rico. So, you know, we got lucky when we met Guillermo and Yesenia, but we need to get a meeting with all the elected officials, the civil society, clean energy groups, and the engineers and folks who know solar and wind, and then we got to come up with our own plan. That's what that bill does. That's the bill would fund that plan.
Well, I did write a piece that went out on the progressive.org, and at one point, correct me if I'm wrong, PURPA announced that they were restoring power to the island after all those months of complete incompetence and criminal incapacity and criminal negligence. And then within hours after they announced that they were restoring power to the island, their whole grid went down again. And for a period of time, the only electric power on Puerto Rico was solar. The solar panels at the Children's Hospital in San Juan. There was a solar greenhouse and a few other solar arrays scattered around the island. Is that correct?
One guy on a bulldozer hit a telephone pole. That's what happened. And it might have been someone who was actually also working, to restore the grid, destroyed the power grid. That's correct. And now, even though, and Yesenia can talk about this, even though they have got it back on, Yesenia, is it not the case? And I spoke to Anna Blackburn, who is the North Carolina Director of Latino Affairs and also one of the leaders of the Poor People's Campaign with Dr. William Barber. The power goes on and off depending on where you live and what day it is in the mountains. Is that, Yesenia, can you talk about that?
That is correct, Joel. The power is still going on and off. I have friends that live in the inner side of the island, and they lose power about 5 to 6 times a week. So that's almost every day. and if they don't have power coming in, then you obviously know that the pressure of the water is being diminished, because the water obviously is running by the dams are run by electricity. So you know both items are being obstructed to the communities in the inner side of the island. Joel, Harvey, Guillermo, I thank you so much for having me on this radio show today. I have to head out to another meeting that I already had scheduled, but please always count on me. I am here for whatever you guys need me, and always standing up for my island of Puerto Rico.
Thank you.
All right, well,
you,
Yesenia, you've been great. You were great last week. We hope to have you on again, and thank you for your reportage and your activism on this. We really, really appreciate you. And go on off to your meeting, and we'll talk to you again.
Okay,
Guillermo,
thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Guillermo, can you fill us in some more on the exact status of the island, or do people have food? Do they have water? The school was opening this week. Is there any semblance of normalcy on the island?
No, not at all. And that's one of the things that I wanted to point out. Like I said, there's a mental health crisis on the island in Puerto Rico. Just after 5 months after Maria, the suicide rate in Puerto Rico went up 30%.
Oh, God.
And I said, the Trump administration could give, you know, a damn about these folks. But these are American citizens. These are our brothers and sisters. This is a humanitarian crisis that needs to be dealt with yesterday. And so, like I said, when I just think of the PTSD that people are going through because of this hurricane, and nobody's talking about it. You won't hear one damn thing come up of the Trump administration in regards to that mental health crisis. So there are still people suffering 1 year after this hurricane, and like I said, and the stress and the fear that they have that another hurricane is going to hit tomorrow or the next day is the fact that people, you know, how the reality of how these folks are living. And if you put yourself in their shoes, we need to do that so that we can really feel the pain that is happening in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands.
God, it's amazing. I want to make very clear that, you know, this is a humanitarian crisis of choice. I cannot speak. Well, I actually could, but I won't, using the language that I'd like to, about Donald Trump and what they've done to Puerto Rico. But this is just another expression of the corporate fascist takeover that's happening in the United States with complete lack of concern for human beings who are not billionaires and millionaires, or for the environment. I mean, the solution to the situation in Puerto Rico is not exactly rocket science. If we went in there and restored or actually built a new electrical system based on renewable energy, which could easily have been done by now, all of Puerto Rico would have cheap, clean, safe, reliable, job-producing electric power. I mean, there's no technological barrier to having done this. The barrier is that the fossil fuel and nuclear power industries don't want it known that a place like Puerto Rico can have 100% renewable energy. It's a competition to their business and to their model, and they don't want it to happen. And they also absolutely could not care less about the humanitarian well-being of the people in Puerto Rico. Now, Puerto Rico was a Spanish colony. We conquered it in the 1890s, and now it's an American colony. And technically, the citizens of Puerto Rico are citizens of the United States, but they're being treated basically like a conquered people. And it's outrageous, but fully expected and fully in character for what the low-life scumbags of the Trump administration are doing to everybody around the world, and especially in the United States. So, Joel, how will your legislation affect this? What is the game plan here?
Great question. I just want to add not only fascism and the 1%, but white nationalism, which we have to remember it was Trump who said that our first African-American president was not a citizen. It was Trump who, at the University of Virginia, when the Klan marched and said death to the Jews, said that there were good people on both sides. And it is Trump who now they're saying used the N-word, and it is General Flynn who called him spicks. That this is where we have fallen asleep. White nationalism and the David Dukes and the George Wallaces of the world are now running our country, and we are not having a national discussion at all in the media about how white nationalism went from putting on a hood and burned crosses to they put on suits and ties and they went into our police forces. Jesus Christ, I'm sorry about that noise. And then literally, you know, they've taken over the White House, and it's as if we're too afraid to have that conversation, and I think we should be ashamed of ourselves for not discussing how right-wing racist ideology is now impacting policy. Let me get to the positive, the bills. The first bill would allow the Puerto Rican people, based on the region, city, right there in town. They come up with their own plan for clean, renewable energy. It cannot include nuclear. No more nuclear. They send that plan after, you know, careful planning to the Department of Energy. The Department of Energy already has a program that gives grants for renewable energy. We would dramatically expand funding for that fund that would go directly to the region, to the city. It would be governed basically by a board, which would be made of made up of civil society folks and clean energy experts, supervised by DOE. That's plan one, to get an electric grid up clean as soon as possible. That will only be passed if there's a movement both from Puerto Rico and outside of Puerto Rico. We're going to need 100 to 170 co-sponsors. So we just got off a two-hour call to plan the campaign. There'll be a press conference to kick it off. The bill will probably be introduced, I think we're hoping, on the anniversary of the hurricane in Puerto Rico. That's, it'll be up to Ted Lieu's office to determine that. The second bill would spend right around $100 billion to rebuild Puerto Rico's infrastructure, their bridges, their roads, their schools, brings back FEMA and the Army Corps of Engineers. It makes sure that the streets and the roads would be clean so it can go, and they rebuild the schools, businesses, and housing. Right now, there's thousands of people who have homes with these tarps over them. The tarps are being blown off during storms, and they're dripping water. And this bill would basically be a Marshall Plan of Puerto Rico. We don't know who's going to introduce that bill yet, but that will be introduced. There's several members of Congress that we will be, you know, outreaching. And we will get both of these bills passed. It doesn't matter whether Republicans are in the majority or the Democrats, but these bills are both going to be passed. And let's not forget, there are plenty of Puerto Ricans who've lived and died for this country, whether it was World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan. So we say to the Puerto Ricans, give your life for our country. Then when our country needs to bring them back life, all of a sudden we forgot about their sacrifices. It's immoral. It's wrong. We can be, you know, we should be ashamed of ourselves, but we have a chance for a course correction, and that's what these bills give us an opportunity to do. But we will need a grassroots movement, especially California, because California has the most progressive delegation in New York. And we will need the California delegation to go on that House floor, members of the House and Senate. We got to find a Senate co-sponsor for both bills. We're working on that. And, you know, we got to get them passed. And we got to have street heat from the outside and lobbying on the inside. And we're not going to stop. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And we are all we have about 50 organizations working on this. We're on a shoestring budget. We don't even have shoes. We have strings, but I don't even know how we're pulling this off, but that's because we're doing it out of the love of our hearts for the Puerto Rican people. I happen to love the island. I've been there. I grew up with Puerto Ricans. My best friend lives in Puerto Rico, and there's a lot of us who share a love for Puerto Rico. We're not going to see this national treasure be destroyed all because we have right-wing fascists in the White House, and we have an apathetic Republican Congress that cares more about tax cuts to the billionaires and millionaires than they do about putting food in a child's stomach or making sure kids can go to a school where they have electricity.
Guillermo, you want to jump in on that?
If I could add, like I said, the support that we're getting from the Latino community and the African-American community, and now thanks to Joel with the progressives and the Greens, I go, really heartens me that this campaign can get this bill passed, can help rebuild Puerto Rico, and can help the humanitarian crisis that's happening in Puerto Rico. But again, we need you and your listeners, Harvey, to join us to do this. I go, we cannot do this alone. Congress is not going to listen to just a few people. But like I said, we're building a coalition, a rainbow coalition, as it's been said, that is going to move this. Like I said, I'm just amazed, you know, in the last week, how many national organizations have approached us and said that they're willing to help out. So like I said, I go, this thing can happen. But again, we need people, your listeners, to be ready to call Congress, to call their representative, and tell them this needs to happen today.
Well, now, how can people give us again the website and the email and for people to get in touch with you?
Sure. They can reach me at my number's 202-630-8411, or they can email me at gnicacio@don'tforgetpuertorico.org, and they can visit our website at www.don'tforgetpuertorico.org.
Fantastic. Okay, well, let's continue to fight on this. Now, Joel, you have said that you are 100% sure these bills are going to pass.
Yeah.
What gives you such optimism about that?
Well, because I have, you know, about 15 years of experience in passing bills. And, you know, and once you've learned how to do it, I learned from the great John Conyers and Ron Dellums, and I've learned that if you have a coalition of conscience, you've got an organization that has funding, you bring in the artists, you bring in the celebrities, you bring in the coalition, you win every time. And that's just been my experience. It didn't matter if it was global AIDS, the Affordable Care Act, which of course was not single payer, or, you know, Hurricane Katrina. Guillermo's been working in D.C., and he knows how to do it. You'll get bills passed every time if you're looking at something that is unbelievably immoral and unconscionable. You just got to build that political will. And this isn't about me. It's just about we've got people who are very experienced in leadership, and, you know, we're connected. Our movement is connected. The Justice Action Mobilization Network is probably over 100 organizations. I'm privileged to be the national director of that. We are multiracial. We have connected African-American groups, Hispanic groups, white, gay, lesbian, Asian, Pacific American, and before the environmental movement was kind of scattered all over the place. But this, the jamming has brought in, you know, state legislators. The old kind of environmental movements were mainly white and older. The new movement is younger, progressive, you know, it's multiracial. Plus, I just spent the day with Al Gore and the Poor People's Campaign. That's 42 states. We are definitely bringing in the Poor People's Campaign. We're definitely going to bring in, you know, Gore's entire infrastructure. That doesn't include La Raza and we haven't spoken to them yet, but LULAC. And it's just really hard to defend not passing a bill to help children have food, electricity, and health care, and senior citizens have machines. The only reason why we lose political battles when we're progressives is because we're not united. That's it. We always win when we're united. And the Latinos say, you know, the people united will never be defeated. We're united this time. And we just need more funding so we can hire more organizers. And that's where we're at. More, if we get more funding, then we win. If we get less funding, we will lose. We plan on getting the funding. Guillermo is we're lucky to have him. I've worked with him for over 20 years. In my opinion, he's one of the best organizers I have ever worked with in my life. But I think we got the Puerto Ricans. You know, we're taking trips down there to make sure that they're organized. But you know, we're lining up the celebrities. We got people like you, Harvey. You're giving us you've been consistent.
Well,
actually,
let me jump in on this, Joel. You just spent the day with Al Gore. What is Al Gore personally doing to make this happen?
Well,
what is Al Gore's level of commitment to this?
I work mainly with
Gore,
but we're going to outreach to Gore, and when we do our press conference, we're going to ask Al Gore to be with us. What Al Gore gets is national media attention that we otherwise might not get. He also, if you read his book, Our Choice, he could set up a microgrid himself. I mean, that's how brilliant Al Gore is. So I sat next to him. I told him what we were working on. He was totally supportive. You know, I'm now working with several different climate scientists on a gold standard 100% clean energy bill. I asked him, would he please help with the drafting of that? He said yes. And, you know, he cares. And to be sitting next to Al Gore, the former vice president, who really won the 2000 election, he got more votes than anyone else in the history of our nation, the popular vote, against George W. Bush, you know, that's not like he hasn't said yes and he hasn't signed on the dotted line, but I am sure that he will say yes, and I know his daughter will. But it's just we just have a lot more firepower than the older version. Thank God for the environmental movement. You know, at least we had that infrastructure in place. We just improved on an existing infrastructure. Sierra Club, you know, Greenpeace, Friends of the Earth. But we've also got the universities. We're bringing in a lot of students as well.
Okay, so listen, in my world, I'm still waiting to hear from Al Gore about reforming our electoral system so that what happened in 2002 and in 2004 and in 2016, three stolen elections, doesn't happen again. And Al Gore also, to my understanding, is a billionaire. And I hope to God, my grandson is here in the room, by the way, if you hear a background. I hope that Al Gore will jump in with both feet, because if any single individual could make a huge difference in the success of resurrecting Puerto Rico and bringing it to renewables, it will be Al Gore. And we need his full 100% commitment. Financially as well as politically. And if you can make that happen, there's, you know, Elon Musk individually has had a huge impact on the future of Puerto Rico. And my grandson's now handing me a race car. And, you know, then what we need is Al Gore to really take a lead on this. He could really make individually a huge difference here.
Harvey, you're right. We need the Democrats need to come back to their roots, and this is an opportunity for them to show their humanity and that they really do care about people, working people, and people that are suffering. I'm just reading an article right now, Harvey, that says a Democratic contender for Florida's governor appears to own millions in Puerto Rico's debt. Jeff Green, the billionaire real estate developer, owns over $26.8 million in the Puerto Rican debt. And he's running for Florida governor. So we need to reach out to him and ask him what he's going to do to help not only Puerto Rico, but the displaced Puerto Ricans in Florida. And again, this
is... Well, I agree. Our crisis in this country with fascism and the insanity and the ugliness of Donald Trump has a tremendous amount to do with the lack of a Democratic Party leadership and with the corruption of the Democrats. And there's no excuse for the Democratic Party not just taking a really powerful leadership role in resurrecting and advancing the situation in Puerto Rico. And you got a guy like Al Gore, you got another guy like John Kerry. These guys are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And Gore in particular, who's talked so much about global warming, he should be down there with his checkbook leading the way to building a green grid. And I would not be shy at all in pressuring him to personally do what Elon Musk has done for the hospital there in Puerto Rico in San Juan, but to do it for more. And more. I mean, these are very, very wealthy people, and they really need to jump in here and help both politically and financially. And I know,
that
Joel, that
absolutely
with your,
a brilliant idea and
acquaintance,
Harvey,
with Al Gore.
Can you hear me?
I mean, there's going to be he's going to do a leadership training in Los Angeles in a couple of weeks, and maybe we should just go confront him. And tell him to pull out his checkbook and do for a few of the structures in Puerto Rico what Elon Musk did. What do you think about that?
Harvey, can you hear me okay with my phone?
Yeah, it could be better, but go ahead.
Okay, because I'm on my home phone. I'll try to speak up as loud as I can.
We don't have much time, so we got to jump it out
here. Through Corinna Gore, we're organizers on this call. I will ask Corinna Gore if that can happen, and we'll do it through the new campaign that Guillermo is heading up. That is an excellent point, but I often tell activists you can't go green if you stay red. That includes state legislators, city councils, county commissions. That includes Blue Dog Democrats and the corporate Democrats that I have to fight here in Charlotte, North Carolina, who were trying to block a clean energy resolution and plan, but we organized and we won that one. By 2030, Charlotte has to go to clean energy by 2030 in the transportation and building sectors. But I had just as many problems with the corporate Democrats as I did the Republicans. So let's not forget about the Blue Dog corporate Democrats. We also have to get them out of office. But we are dealing now with voter purging, and you're a board member of the Voting Rights, the Transformative Justice Coalition. You are right. The Democrats are not dealing with – we're looking at about 3 million people so far. The Republicans are purging people who may not have voted in the last two elections, and they're saying you're no longer able to vote. You've been purged off the list. There's been no fight back. You still got voter ID. I mean, there's so many problems.
We're almost out of time. Here's one specific thing. You know, voting rights we'll talk about again another
Gore,
show.
I'll talk to
Here's
Gore
one
about
specific
that.
Thing.
People. My best,
Why don't
my best.
You pick, say, two or three specific projects in Puerto Rico for solarization and go to Al Gore and ask him to write a check to do those specific projects. You told me that from my KPFK show, someone called in and gave you $20,000. Let's do it again next week. Thank you, guys. Guillermo, Joel, we'll be back again. We'll talk about this some more. But don't be shy with these Democrats like Al Gore. Talk to you again next week. Thank you, everybody.
Don't you know we're going to have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia.